want your soul.
My buddy Steve was a genius at making money without doing anything. At one point, he was enrolled in 12 different clinical trials at the same exact time. Some of these were for drugs that would have been bad interactions, but it didn't matter to Steve, because he never actually took the drugs. He did it like they do it in the movies, and just slipped them under his tongue and then spat them into his hands when the doctor was turned away. Other trials were for new therapeutic approaches and things like that, but those were no problem for Steve either. At most, he had to lie, literally and metaphorically, on somebody's couch for an hour each week, and then collect his check on the way out the door. But eventually they caught on, and Steve was put on some kind of a list. There was a nationwide ban on Steve so that he couldn't participate in any more trials sponsored by universities or private drug companies, which essentially precluded him from that easy money. But Steve found a workaround. Not all experiments are above board and sanctioned by the FDA or whatever. There is, in fact, a hidden world of people testing things out in their garages, streamlining the whole process without having to worry about pesky, inexpensive regulations. One of Steve's friends gave him a link to a forum on the dark web, and after that, he was in the pipeline. The thing about these experiments is that if it were for, say, a new drug, they didn't trust you just to swallow the pill. You had to open your mouth and lift your tongue. You had to actually take it, because these people weren't fucking around. But boy, did they pay. One morning, I was awakened by an insanely loud banging at my apartment door. "Who's that?" moaned my girlfriend Sophia. I looked at the clock with bleary eyes. It was 5:55 a.m. "Open up, dude," shouted Steve from the hallway. "Oh, fuck him," said Sophia. "Well, he could be in trouble," I said, shooting out of bed, full of adrenaline. I answered the door in my boxers, and there he was, bouncing up and down, his pupils each the size of a full moon. "Are you okay, Steve?" I asked. "I'm awesome, dude. Holy shit, they gave me $1,000 to take one fucking pill, and it rules. Oh, it feels so good. Oh my God, Jay, oh my God." My head hurt as I tried to piece together a thought. "So you're high, and you came to tell me that you got paid a lot of money to take drugs?" I felt a surge of rage welling up deep inside me. "Ha ha, yeah, man. I mean, no, look, you're my best friend. I love you. I love you so much. Listen, I came here because, look, there's money. There's a lot of money for me and for you. $20,000 for a video game. All we got to do is play a video game or something like that, dude. $20,000 for a few hours. Look, I'm telling you this because I love you. You don't need to take drugs or anything. Just do some virtual reality stuff for a few hours and boom, $20,000 in your pocket. Just like that." And he snapped his fingers when he said it. The flood of rage died down as I tried to make sense of what Steve was saying. I just couldn't. "What are you telling me?" I asked. "Why are you here before the crack of dawn? Sophia's pissed and so am I, really." "No, no, no," said Steve with a horrified look on his face. "No, I want you to be happy. Sophia too. Look, listen, you still have that Tor browser I set you up with and all that, right?" I think so." "Good, good, good. Listen, look." Steve jammed his hand into his pocket and pulled out a piece of paper. "Type this in and you'll see. You'll see. It's easy money, okay? $20,000. You can finally buy that engagement ring you've been wanting." I then reached out and smacked Steve across the side of his head. "Jesus Christ, dude. Keep it down, okay? She's gonna fucking hear you." Steve looked shocked and hurt for a moment before the realization dawned on him. "Oh, shit. Yeah, my bad. My bad. I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry. I wish I could delete it, but I can't. Listen, are you going to go check this out or what?" And he held out the crumpled piece of paper to me. I took it and shrugged. "I'll check it out, Steve, okay? But that's it for now. Why don't you go home and go to sleep, dude? It's early in the morning and you look like you haven't slept all night." Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that right now," said Steve, nodding his head like crazy. "Check it out. I'll sleep it off, but you check it out." I then started to close the door, but he stuck his foot in just before it closed. "Yeah, dude? Can I use your bathroom?" I went ahead and opened the door inside as he rushed into my bathroom and started puking his guts out. Steve received a formal ban from our apartment after that. There wasn't much I could do to convince Sophia otherwise, but we stayed in touch. He would text me every few hours asking if I'd checked out the advertisement for the video game trial yet. The truth was that I had checked it out as soon as he left that morning, but I was undecided. On one hand, the 20 grand sure was intriguing. That was almost half as much as I made in a year. More than half, after taxes really, and I had a feeling that this wasn't the sort of gig where they took taxes out. I'd be able to do a lot with that money. I could take Sophia out for all kinds of dinners, maybe even take a vacation and travel somewhere interesting. The kinds of things that we always wanted to do, but never could afford to do it. Then yes, there was the engagement ring too. Sophia would say yes either way, even if I presented her with some rolled up aluminum foil. But I wanted it to be special, I wanted it to be nice, but I couldn't afford to make it nice. On the other hand though, the whole thing was sketchy as fuck. Who pays some Joe off the street $20,000 to play a video game? And why go through such shady channels to set the thing up? I mean, I knew from the start that nothing good could come from it. And I knew it, but I did it anyways. I wanted the money. All right, I wrote in a text to Steve. I'm in for the video game thing. My man, we're gonna be swimming in fucking caviar, my dude, Steve shot back. Steve and I drove to the address together. It was strangely a respectable-looking office building. We went up to the entrance and looked at the map of the building. There was a lawyer in there, a counselor, an accountant, and so forth. Shit, said Steve. Which office is it? On cue, his phone then buzzed. Oh, he said, it's in the basement. The basement? Not for real, like the basement? I don't know about this man, I asked. Come on, dude, it's 20 grand. And it's such a nice building, too. I'm used to going to crazy people's garages and swallowing God knows what. This is going to be a cakewalk. Let's just go. I nodded, but as we walked to the elevator, my sense of unease grew larger and larger until it was screaming at me. I needed to turn around. Whatever this was, I knew it was bad. It's just a video game, I said to calm myself down. What was that? Asked Steve. I snapped out of it. I said, let's just go play this video game and get paid. That's the attitude. Steve was grinning as the elevator door slid closed behind us. We rode down to the basement as I tried to calm myself down. It's a video game, in the basement of a respectable office. Probably they could only afford to rent the basement. I shut myself up before I could ask that they could only afford to rent the basement, but they're paying me $20,000 each. I just can't make sense of it. When we reached the bottom, the door slid open, and the first thing that I saw was a man and a woman sitting at a plastic work table in the middle of a large room. Other than that, it looked like a standard basement with equipment like boilers and hot water heaters and exposed wiring and concrete floors. Welcome, said the woman. Steven and Jason, is that right? That's us, said Steve, stepping off the elevator. I followed behind and watched as the woman wrote something on her clipboard. That's fantastic, said the man. Right on time. Well, you're a few minutes late, but that doesn't matter. He laughed. Oh, it happens, said the woman, smiling. People have things to do, and we respect that here. That's why we're going to get right down to business. First, we need you both to sign the contract. The woman then held out two clipboards, and we each took one. Before I looked at it, I took a moment to note that my unease had not subsided, despite the service friendliness of the man and the woman. Somehow, that made it more bizarre, that they were just sitting there, so poised amongst the plumbing pipes running overhead, ready to offer us a shitload of money to play some game. Where do we play the game? I asked, looking around. I didn't see a TV or anything. Up here, said the man, tapping his head. What? I started, but Steve gave me a nudge. They'll tell us what to do, he said. Just sign the contract. He scrawled some information into a few boxes and dashed off a signature while I read it more closely. The contract had a section in it that said, the participant agrees not to seek compensation beyond the predetermined amount. In this case, the predetermined amount is $20,000 USD for participating in one trial game of Total Control, TC in parentheses. The makers of TC and the administrators of the trial hereby relieve themselves of all liability for any injuries sustained during gameplay with the express agreement of the participant. Injuries, I asked out loud. What kind of game is this? The woman smiled. Well, unfortunately, we're not allowed to tell you anything about the game unless you sign that contract. After that, you'll know all about it. I continued reading. In the event that the participant is unable to collect the predetermined amount at the end of the game, the makers of TC will transfer the funds to a person of the participant's choosing. The following box is for the participant to note the name and address of the next of kin. So you're saying that if we die, you'll give the money to somebody that we choose? I asked. Is that right? That's right, said the man. If we die while playing your game, I stressed, and I turned to Steve. This is fucking crazy, dude. Steve shrugged. It's a lot of money. Take it or leave it, and I'm taking it. I tried to convince myself to leave it, but then I thought about going to Europe with Sophia. I wrote her name in the next of kin box, then signed the form. I handed the clipboard back to the woman, who scanned it over. Fantastic, she said. Now, will you tell us what this game is? We'll do better than that, said the man. He reached down into a cardboard box on the ground and pulled out what looked like two headsets. We'll show you the game. Please, gentlemen, put these devices on your heads and prepare for an experience unlike anything you've ever had. Or so we hope, he added, laughing. Steve didn't hesitate to put the thing on his head. It looked like the front half of a helmet with an elastic band securing it in place, and a pair of glasses attached to it. I don't see anything, said Steve. It's a two-player game, said the man, nodding to me. I took a deep breath and said to myself, it's just a game. I put the headset on and looked through the glasses. Everything looked the same, except it had a slight yellow tint. I watched as the man reached into the box again and brought out two video game controllers. He handed one to the woman and then they each pushed a button. I heard Steve scream a split second before I heard the hiss of some hydraulic mechanism being engaged just above my ear. Then I felt the most intense pain in my life. It felt like something was being jabbed directly into my brain, and that's exactly what was happening. A trickle of blood rolled down the side of my head as my brain lit up with pain, and then I was unconscious. When I woke up, I was strapped to a chair sitting opposite the man and woman behind their table, and next to Steve. There was only a dull ache in my head now, but it didn't take long for me to burst into a full-on panic. Ah, good, said the woman. You're both awake. She stood up calmly, walked over, and undid my straps. What is this? I gasped. What the fuck is going on? It's an experiment, said the man. Don't worry, we've ironed out some kinks since the last time we tried it. What kind of experiment? I said, standing on wobbly legs. What are you going to do to me? The woman went on to work on unstrapping Steve. We've implanted a device in your head, she explained. It allows us to control your physical movements, or so we hope. Steve rubbed his head. What? Well, you're going to pay us, aren't you, right? Of course, said the man. He reached into his cardboard box and pulled out two thick envelopes. I hope cash is okay. He tossed them across the table to our feet. Steve bent down and tore his open. I saw the cash inside. All right. I suppose that's worth it for a little headache, I guess. So you've been planting these devices in our brains. Okay, so can we leave now? Well, you can try, said the man. But you won't be able to if we don't want you to, said the woman. And on that note, we actually don't want you to. Not until you fight till the death. I jumped to my feet and tried to slow down my breathing. Come on, man, I said to Steve. That's enough. I bent down to pick up my envelope and then started walking towards the elevator. Thanks for the money, guys, Steve said, and then he followed behind me and pushed the button. The light came on and we waited for the elevator to come down. Then I reached my fist back and swung it as hard as I possibly could at Steve's jaw. It connected with a loud crack and I saw a spray of blood leave his mouth. What the fuck are you doing? Groaned Steve, rubbing his jaw. I felt dizzy. What the fuck indeed? Why did I just sock my best friend in the face for no reason? Dude, I'm so sorry. I have no idea why I just did that. Steve spit out some blood on the basement floor. Forget it, man. Let's just get out of here. The elevator door dinged. Sounds good to me, I said as the door slid open. I went to step in when I suddenly felt the hand grab my shoulder and roughly spin me around. It was Steve. He had a really confused look on his face as he grabbed my neck with both hands and started to choke me. My nerves exploded in panic as I struggled to breathe. I felt myself bringing my knee up into his balls. He let go of my neck and then hunched over. "What's happening?" he gasped. I brought my elbow down on his back and he screamed out in pain. "I don't know. I don't know." I looked over at the man and the woman still seated behind their plastic work table. They were each holding game controllers, video game controllers, and smiling. The woman then pushed a button and suddenly Steve lunged at me, driving his shoulder into my gut. We hit the ground together, my elbow taking the brunt of the impact. "I'm so sorry," cried Steve. "I can't stop it. I don't know what I'm doing." I reached up and grabbed Steve's face in my hand. I didn't want to. I tried to make myself stop, but I couldn't. I began squeezing between my thumb and middle finger, which were spread out and gripped into the spot behind his eye sockets. "Stop this," I shouted, and Steve sunk into my palm with his teeth and tore a chunk out of my flesh. I felt the searing pain and a deep fear as he spit my skin onto the ground. I tried to will myself to stay still, but I couldn't, and then I punched him in the eye. When his head jerked back from the blow, I pushed against his chest and twisted around, so that now I was back on top of him. I took a clump of his hair in my hand and began smashing his head into the concrete floor, over and over and over. I was crying now. I was begging myself to stop. I was begging the man and woman to stop whatever they were doing, and I was begging Steve to forgive me as his head hit the floor with a thunk that sounded wetter and wetter each time, and blood gushed and sprayed everywhere. "Okay," said the man after a while. "That's enough. My player's dead now." I heard the woman then laugh. "I told you I would win." Suddenly, I was in control of my own movements again. I set Steve's head gently on the ground and knelt next to him. "What have I done?" I wailed. "What did you make me do?" "Now, now," said the man standing up. "It's not all bad news." He walked over and picked up the envelope of cash that Steve had dropped. "He did name you as next of kin, so you've just made $40,000 and not $20,000. I looked up at him with blurry eyes. "You fucking monsters. I'm gonna fucking kill you." I ran at him full of rage with my arms outstretched, but when I got to him, I slowed down. I spread my arms wider and embraced him in a friendly hug. My mind screamed in terror and rage, but my body wouldn't respond. "We control you now," said the woman. "We're happy to let it go with this. You've served our purpose as a beta tester. We will let you get in that elevator with your money, and you'll never hear from us again. If you honor your contract. Do you remember your contract? There's a copy of it in your back pocket. There's one bit that you should pay careful attention to. The bit about how you are never to tell anyone anything close to what happened here. Don't worry about coming up with an explanation for your friend. We're going to take care of that. All that you have to do about this is literally nothing. Get on the elevator, go home, and don't say a word. You'd be best off to forget about what happened here." "There's a hose in the corner," said the man. "Clean yourself up, take your money, and get the fuck out of here." And I did just that. I wasn't even sure if I was the one doing it, but I left. After I killed Steve, my life fell completely apart. And of course it did. I knew that I wasn't in control of my actions at the time, but that didn't help at all. I'd watched the life leave his eyes and I'd gone on smashing his head against the concrete again and again well after he was dead. I had nightmares about it every night, and the worst part was that I couldn't tell anybody about it. What was I supposed to do? Turn myself into the police? For murdering my best friend literally against my will? How would that help anything? I wanted to tell Sophia. I wanted to tell her so badly, but I couldn't. Those people had put the fear in me. We started doing fancy things together with the money, like going out to eat, but it was no good. It was like a part of me died when Steve died, when I had bashed the life out of him. Sophia didn't want fancy dinners and all the things that money could buy anyways. She just wanted me, but I wasn't there anymore. I started drinking, more and more. I even considered suicide. Not seriously at first, but as time went by, it seemed more and more like a viable option. Anything to stop the never-ending guilt and grief. For her part, Sophia stuck with me for longer than I could have hoped for, but finally it got to be too much. It was clear enough between us that things were over, well before the night we laid in bed together after yet another failed attempt to have sex. "I can't do this anymore, Jay," she said. "I loved you, but something changed after Steve's accident. I know that he was your best friend and it tore your heart out, but what about life? What about me? What about us? You didn't die. I didn't die. We're all still here. And I can't do it anymore. It's been nearly 6 months, and I don't think I've heard you laugh once. I'm not blaming you, and I can't tell you how much I wanted to be able to do this. It's my failure, really. But like I said, we're still alive, and I want to live while I can. And I want you to live, too. I clenched my jaw, trying to fight back the tears. I tried to think rationally. If I really loved her, then I'll just tell her to go away, but I didn't. I have to tell you something, I said. Then, as my soul screamed in horror, I grabbed my pillow and I suffocated her with it. I've been in bed with Sophia's corpse for 2 days now. Yesterday I got a text. We have gathered all the data we need. Your contract has been fulfilled. Your unit has been deactivated. We thank you for your participation and wish you the best of luck. I don't know what to do. I'll start here by saying this. My name is Jason, and I killed my best friend and the love of my life, but I wasn't in control of my body at the time. Where do I go from here?